Bugs and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
Y'all smoking the competition. Oh, come on, tell me how that feel, baby.
Stop it, Ricky Rose.
Huh?
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Deuce of Bell on a Friday weekend, holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend. And thanks again to all the veterans and everything you've done to keep us safe and free in this country. And we honor you. If you guys, by the way, John Fricke and for Dukes and Bell, Orrin Adede, have you guys ever been to Arlington National Cemetery?
I have not.
No.
It's moving. It's really something. If you get a chance, everybody wants to go to D.C. They want to go see the Capitol and the White House and Smithsonian. And I always say, well, the two things you really have to see, you got to go to the National Archives. People don't go to the archives. I'm like, guys, you go into the archive and you're standing there and they turn on the light and they raise out of the floor because it's in a vault in the floor. That's the original McCoy. That's the real, yeah, Ben Franklin and all these people, you know, signing all. That's the real Declaration of Independence. That's the Thomas Jefferson, John Hancock, real, Constitution. I mean, these are the two real McCoys. And so they keep them in the dark for most of the time so they don't get light. But they don't go. They want to go see the this and that of the Smithsonian, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And the other thing they don't go see is Arlington National. They think, it's just a cemetery. No, it's not. It's really moving. You know, the Eternal Flame, Tomb of the Unknowns. It's really quite a place. It's really pretty special. So you really get a sense of honor and history there. So I encourage you to do both of those the next time you're in D.C. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We got a lot of sports going on here because the countdown clock is ticking away here in late May for August 14. August 14 is going to come quick. That, of course, the preseason opener for the Atlanta Falcons as they take on the Denver Broncos in that preseason opener. Let's get into a little football. 4th and 1 style on Dukes and Bell.
It's time for 4th and 1 on Dukes and Bell.
First down, let's get this right now.
All the NFL news and notes you need as we drive for the touchdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
4th and 1 NFL headlines brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMensMedical.com, PriorityMensMedical.com. So, Orrin Adede, I got a question for you. So, back a couple, 3 weeks ago or so, a friend of mine who's in the business likes to do these surveys of sports people that are in the industry. He sends out an email and says, hey, guys, would you respond to this email? You know, don't respond all. Just reply to me. And he likes to do surveys, and he publishes them somewhere. I don't know where the hell he publishes them. And one of the questions on this week's survey, or this survey that he recently did, was not best and worst, because there's no best and worst, but what is your favorite and your least favorite NFL helmet? And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Do you have a favorite and least favorite?
Helmet? You said helmet? I've never thought about it, honestly. You know what? I've never been the biggest fan, I think, of some of the Patriots helmets.
Not even the old center snapper dude?
Yeah, no. That's probably, if I had to throw, because I never really thought about it like that, but I'd probably say that one probably, as far as one that would be the least, that one probably jumps out to me the most. Favorite, there's a lot of good ones I've liked over the years. I've always liked the variation of Falcons helmets. I'm trying to think who else. That's a good one, John. I'm going to have to go back and really think about that now.
You know, I've always been really partial to the Rams helmets, but I actually kind of like the blue and white as opposed to the golden one.
Yeah, I'll say Fred Dreher days, because I didn't realize they had blue and white until I started watching.
Yeah, Roman
Hunter.
Gabriel and yeah. The blue and white Rams helmets, but no, nonetheless, I always thought it was kind of clever with the whole ram horn design, you know. So I thought those are pretty cool. But I tell you what I think is a really cool helmet, you know, and it's, I think the best and worst helmets I've ever seen are actually, you know, the alternates, okay? Now, the worst alternate, I think, and I don't mean, it's not because I'm a Falcons fan and I have an IQ above 140, okay? It's just because it's really legitimately the worst, I mean, the worst throwback helmet. That black Saints helmet with the gold fleur-de-lis is awful. It's just terrible. And their Saints fans going, hey,
I was about to say, a lot of people are going to say that's your Falcons bias, John.
I don't know. Warren doesn't think so. Warren's probably shaking his head. Yeah, I agree with him. Then you have what I think is the best NFL helmet. I say, because I don't like their regular helmet that much, we're going to play them in Madrid. The Bengals' regular helmet, you know, it's brown because Paul Brown left the Browns and went down and started the Bengals, and he kept the colors and all that kind of stuff. But their throwback helmet, the white one with the black, you know, claws through it, is really sweet. That's pretty nice. And not going to lie, I think that Bengals throwback, the white one with the black, what do we call those? Bengal claws, I think? That they go through the, pardon me, Bengals fans, for not knowing that. You know, I never really thought about what we refer to those scratch lines as that go through the top of your helmet. Speaking of the Rams, we'll go back to the Rams here for a second. Matthew Stafford has apparently reportedly agreed to a one-year extension worth up to $60 million with incentives for the Rams, which is fine for the Rams on a couple of fronts. What I am interested about in this story, and the reason I think it's kind of interesting, is the Rams went out. Les Snead, who's one of the great GMs in the NFL, obviously look at the success of the LA Rams, and they make the big trade with the Falcons, right? The James Pierce Jr. trade. They get the high pick. Everybody thinks, oh, they're going to win this trade. Had what not happened to James Pierce Jr.? Well, that's not what. Let me rephrase that. It didn't happen to him. He did it. If he doesn't go, you know, all wackadoodle down in Florida, the Falcons are going to win that trade by a mile. And then he goes out and he uses that pick to get Ty Simpson. And we're all kind of going, really? Ty Simpson, okay. Are you smarter than us? Hey, yes, he is. I mean, like, a lot smarter than us? That you think that Ty Simpson is a franchise quarterback? By the way, he might be. And we could sit around going, yeah, Ty Simpson. Because when Tom Brady came out of Michigan, there were a lot of us saying, Tom Brady, you mean the Michigan guy? Yeah, he played well in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama, but yeah, and none of us saw Tom Brady becoming Tom Brady. That was like, it wasn't happening. For that matter, I can call out Falcons fans. I can call out all my Falcons fans for saying the same thing about one Matthew Ryan when he came out of Boston College. And oh, did we hear it? Yeah, you know. This guy's a stiff. We wasted a pick on a quarterback from Boston College. You know, you don't know. It's really hard to know sometimes how it's going to translate. You know, guys that you thought were going to be surefire great quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, it didn't pan out at all, and not just because of injury, just they didn't pan out. And guys that you didn't expect to be star quarterbacks turned into star quarterbacks. I mean, nobody had Kurt Warner coming out of Northern Iowa, you know, winning Super Bowls for two different teams. That wasn't on the agenda. And so, you don't know, maybe Ty Simpson will be a great, it was just a surprising pick, because the last time we saw Ty Simpson, he was getting his rear end handed to him in the Rose Bowl. I mean, he was getting obliterated in that game by Indiana. And so we're like, really? That's the guy? Well, now you look at it and you say, Matthew Stafford's getting $60 million with incentives. And what he's trying to get paid here at the end of his career. And Matthew Stafford used to be Fran Tarkenton, but not anymore. Matthew Stafford, the most successful former Georgia quarterback in the NFL, has earned every penny of this. And so I know some fans in LA are saying, you're just paying him because it's like you're just giving him money. And I'm like, well, yeah, they're sort of paying him to give him money. I mean, that's kind of the point here. But, yeah, they're trying to honor him for everything he's done for them, because it turned out to be, you want to talk about Les Snead making a great trade? Jared Goff was a fine quarterback, obviously. Could have, probably should have taken the Lions to the Super Bowl, if not for their head coach. But Matthew Stafford really turned the fortunes around after he left Detroit to go to L.A. And Matthew Stafford is still really damn good. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. So I don't have a problem with this, and yet Rams fans are just going bonkers on it. Meanwhile, John Harbaugh is now saying he is uncertain if Malik Nabers will be ready for the start of the season here. And boy, do they need it. Because now week 5, we get the Ravens at Mercedes-Benz Sunday Night Football. If Malik Nabers has a lingering thing, that's not necessarily a bad deal for us. not wishing injuries on other teams except Saints. But, you know, it wouldn't be such a bad thing with this, you know, if he's just beyond our game. And then he can come back and he can go do whatever he needs to do after that. But just through our game on Sunday night, maybe he's just a little bit hobbled and not ready to go yet. That wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing. But we'll keep our eyes on it for the Ravens fans, because I saw as part of this story, at least one of the stories I saw in this about Malik Nabers was the writer said it's a tough blow for the start of the season for the Ravens because the AFC North is the most difficult division to handicap this year because any of the four teams can win it. And I went, I thought, is that really true? You guys think that's true, Oren? Day-Day, you think the AFC North is the hardest division to handicap?
I mean, you don't
that
know.
That one or the NFC North?
Yeah, I was going to say, because, I would agree with Oren on that. That or the NFC North.
I think the NFC South is the hardest.
No, John.
Not really, John.
Really? You don't think all four can win it?
What this matter? I don't think it's just a matter of like not just winning it, John, but like, the winning team in this division may win 9 games. The winning team in the AFC North or the NFC North might be a 12-13 win team and a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Super Bowl contenders here. We're just talking about handicapping the division as to who's going to win the division. He just said it was the most difficult division to handicap, and I went, really? Because I don't think Cleveland's making that big a leap to be in it. I think Cleveland is clearly the last place team in that division.
I was going to say, take Cleveland out of the mix.
Well,
I
mean, you can't.
What I'm just saying, okay, don't take them out of the mix. But in comparison to us here in the NFC South, I don't know, John. That I'd lean more towards the AFC North than that one.
Steelers, look at it this way.
Ravens.
We all agree, Oren, you would agree Cleveland's the last place team going into the season. Clearly the last place team in the AFC North, correct?
Yes.
Data, you would agree that Cleveland's clearly the last place team in the AFC North. Everybody else outside of this room that we're sitting in here, you, me, everybody else out there in all of pro football land making predictions says it's clear the Atlanta Falcons are the last place team in the NFC South. Do we three believe that for half a second?
I don't believe we're the last place team, but I will say we're not top two yet.
Really?
I don't think so.
I think they're going to win the division.
I'm not saying they can't win division, but we haven't seen anything yet to give us real optimism that they can win the division yet. We still don't know who our starting quarterback is going to be.
Well, yeah, I understand that part of it. Yes, and that's a gigantic thing here, but it's not like you're in a division with, John Elway and Dan Marino. You're in a division with Tyler Shuff and Bryce Young, and Bryce Young could revert to Bryce Young at any moment in any given time.
Bryce
Young. Baker Mayfield twice last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he have Mike Evans anymore?
No, but he's still got a great supporting cast. The kid that was in Jigba. Am I right? Oh, am I saying it right? In Jigba.
Yeah,
still
Smith
got Godwin.
Yeah, I know. And you got
a great
Bucky Irvin. They got a good team, but so do we. Newsflash. So do we.
Yeah, but they have established quarterbacks. We don't.
I understand that, but we also probably have a better defense. Everybody's kind of dogging on our defense. I'm going, I think our defense could be pretty good.
Well, our defense has to step up in the run game.
Yes. I think that they're going to be working. I think the Mason Graham trade was obviously designed to do that because Mason Graham is more of a run stuffer than an upfield guy from the interior, and Rook is more an upfield guy, et cetera. So I think it works out for both Jaguars and Falcons to have that trade. But I don't think the Falcons are done by any stretch of the imagination when it comes to they still have about $20 million under the cap. Yes, they'd like to hold some of that for a midseason acquisition should they need that. But let's say they use half. They've got $10 million, and if they wanted to create some more, they could. I mean, the Falcons could still make another big move prior to the season beginning. Matter of fact, I'd be surprised if they didn't at this point. If they get an opportunity to make a move into that interior defensive line, with somebody else, especially considering we don't know yet. And doesn't it drive you nuts? Excuse me for saying so. Why the hell do we not know yet, Oren, what the deal is with James Pierce Jr.?
Because he still has things he has to meet condition-wise, I think, John. And once those get taken care of, then I think we'll have a clearer picture of what's going on there.
Yeah, but you're going to tell me the NFL doesn't know already what they're going to do?
No, I don't think they know.
Okay.
Or they make a very good point to wait until things progress near a closing point when they decide to rule.
What about this quarterback situation for the Atlanta Falcons? That's a fair point, I understand. You know, will one grab the reins and the other not? Who's going to be the starting quarterback for the opening game against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers? Is it as cut and dried as saying one or the other? Or do we have a legit quarterback competition going on Sports Radio 92.9 FM?